This is The Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I am Paula. Bill Russell is here, and it is our pleasure to have Iman with us. Would you please give me your whole birth name, just for the record? It's so lovely.
Oh, thank you. Iman Mohammed Abdul-Majid.
Thank you for that. One of the things I was thinking about as I just really delighted in The Beauty of Color, the ultimate beauty guide for skin of color, I was thinking about the young ones, and you have a place in your heart for the young ones as well. And I was thinking about the kids who are, A, ought to be studying instead of looking at their makeup, and B, spending their money on makeup instead of on books.
Yes.
How do we balance that for the young ones?
I think parents should really take control. They've lost control somehow. Would never occur to me that if my mother said you can't wear makeup, that I would go and wear makeup. My theory has been, and I have been saying this from the day I created my cosmetic company, I'm saying in Western society, girls learn to wear makeup way too young. Way too young. It makes them look older. First of all, they're way too young, and then when they get in their 20s, they all want to look like in their teens. So way too young. It makes them look older. Older boys hit on them. They get themselves into trouble that they're not ready for. They're promiscuous. Really, there should be. And schools have lost. The schools have totally lost control. I wish I could enforce uniform.
Because?
First of all, because it's some kind of an order. Mm. You know, you need to be, you're not a child to make those decisions. You cannot wear a velour pants who says juicy at the back and you expect nothing to happen. You can't. And how can that be the school? How can that enter the school? So I would enforce for that reason, and most importantly, so that it will have some kind of a starting ground for the haves and the have-nots. Because the schools now, you have kids in Prada and Burberry's and others who can't afford it. It's really has become, and when I was growing up, that was a place of discipline for us. That a place of order, that you knew what is expected of you the minute you walked in there. And I think, and when you came home, I mean, if my mother said, you're not going out tonight, you're not going out tonight, that was the end of it. It's not like there was a discussion about it. Do you know what I mean? So I think both family and schools have totally lost control of kids.
So I'm hearing you say that youngsters might, A, wait for the makeup.
Yes.
And B, might have some parental or adult guidance on what the makeup is that is appropriate.
Exactly. And the thing is that it should start young. Because what we see on the images we see out there, because what they call now tweenies, what is that, tweenies? 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I mean, clothes geared for them and makeup geared for them and, you know, stuff like that. So and what's exposed to them, I mean, mind you, that I came to this country because it's a free country and one can say what they want to say and do what they want to do. But we're losing if we let the children. Children need discipline.
And
they really do.
That's not the same as just dumb conformity.
No, it's not. That's what I mean. It's a free country, but you can't have a free society if you don't raise the children right.
Politics of beauty is a much richer subject. I'm not surprised, but I'm listening to you, and it makes it a much, 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 much richer if we have a more sophisticated, broader sense of what beauty is.
Yes.
Then we don't get locked into I'm attractive because I'm the right weight or because I wear Prada or because I, you know, whatever. There are many alternatives. And that's part of the, you know, what's wonderful about your book, because just with respect to physical beauty, lots of different ways to do that. But
yes.
But the politics of beauty suggests there are even more ways of doing that than just the physical.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In the self-respect that you will have for yourself. And I keep on saying to young girls when they come to book signing. Obviously, all of them want to become a model. And the first thing I say, listen, you have to finish school. because the chances of becoming a model are nil. Not because you don't look good, because everybody wants to become a model, and not everybody can. And it has nothing to do with beauty becoming a model. You know why? Because it is what's in right then and that. There are a lot of girls who are not beautiful or considered beautiful or not considered beautiful at all who are top models because their look serves a purpose in the industry.
So that's the purpose might be.
But might be is the androgynous look is in. It might be any given thing that might be hip and happening at that time. That has nothing to do with beauty, where you come from or whatever. Or
there's also a real emphasis on the very, very young.
Oh, yes. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in that context, it's also not a fun business. It looks glamorous.
But
about hour 14 or 18 or 22, having gotten up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And it's boring.
And boring is dirt.
Boring. You might get paid a lot of money, but it's boring. And before you know it, as we all know, time really goes fast and the years go fast. And before you know it, you're not prepared for any skills, but just sitting in front of a camera. Okay, you have not finished your education. If you are lucky, you have made it and made some money. And if you haven't lucky, you've wasted 5-6 years of your life.
And even if you've made money, there are so many ways that it can get dissipated that it may or may not be there when you're done.
Exactly. Especially if you're over the hill at the age of 22, because people are over the hill at the age of 22 in our industry. So there's so much things that's against you that if you're not really, as an African would say, something to fall back into, you know, if anything goes wrong, because the chances are it will. The chances are it will. And the young, yes, they started very young and send their kids to Europe and chaperoned. And I don't care, if the agency tells you they're sending them somebody. Would you send your child to a club and chaperoned without your knowledge? Forget about another country, another continent.
To go through magazines, and I do this just because we spent all those years in the film and video business, I just find it interesting to be looking at how it's being portrayed. I will often skip the editorial and just look at the advertisements. And the requirement that the young have no wrinkles.
Absolutely. No character. There is no knowledge. They can put any subject, anything, any fantasy, anything on it. It's a blank page.
Which is that which is desired in that business.
That's what's desired. But it's a very smart person to say that I pick up the magazines and don't look at the editorial and look at the advertising, because that's where it is at. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and it tells us a great deal about who we are at the present moment.
Yes, exactly. And those are the people who pay for it, so they care less of what we say. They're going to tell us, because they pay it. They pay the money for it. They're the ones who pay for to run the whole magazine. So you know, yeah, if it's sex they're selling, they'll show you how sexy they want it to be. And if it's selling young age, that's exactly what they... And they could be 13, 14, 15.
Well, it looks like sex is about all that's being sold at the moment.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, you know, they always say sex sells, but at to what extent, I don't know. I mean, you know, one has to say enough already
apparently not in this society.
No, I guess not. But, you know, in as much as I would like to... I mean, I'd like to enlighten people, because at the end of the day, one hopes that they can sift through things. Because, you know, it gets to a point that, you know, when you talk to people that you can be off-putting, especially to the young, because, you know, they think that you're preaching to them, oh, what do you know, you're 50. Or, you know, you've done it, why can I do it now? You know? Yeah.
Well, the young people are required to make their own mistakes.
I mean, yes.
There's a certain amount of that. We talked years ago with Lady P.D. James, who just in the course of the conversation just stopped and said, you know, I really don't understand how you tolerate television.
Now, this is an English woman who writes mystery novels read all over the world.
Yeah. and also on the board of the BBC, board of governors of the BBC.
No, I know the name. And
she said, I don't know how you Americans tolerate television.
Yes.
Because of all the commercials. I mean, really?
I know.
But I say that in this context because it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
I mean, there are alternatives.
Yes.
It's not as if this is the only way that you can run an economy, live a life.
But yes, so talking from a girl from a third world country.
Right.
what you have here in this country, it's as much as one can complain about the government and one can complain about the TV, one can complain. The alternatives are there. You can, if you are not happy in your little town of the stories that they're telling you, the news in the village, for God's sake, get on the internet. You can find any news you want and the whole story. Do you know? Because, you know, we will listen to BBCs and, you know, read the Herald Tribune, everything online. You can listen to BBC radio online. You can listen to radio on, as we were talking earlier, online. So it's not like it's not a verb. When in Somalia, you know, forget about Somalia now, it's under civil war. But, you know, under the military regime, you were lucky if you had one station, you know. So you were so totally cut off from the world that, to me, that's exactly what they're subjecting kids to themselves, or a lot of young people in this country, or old people for that matter, that they've taken the control out of their hands, and they are like, sit by the television, and whatever that channel in front of them tells them. Nobody says, change the channel, for God's sake, if you don't want to listen to that. How about listen to everything?
Or turn it off.
Or turn it off for that matter. But, you know, what I'm saying is that there is so much that when it's available, even if you are in a place that you don't get a single paper, it's there. It's out there if you really want it. So there is no excuse, really. There is no excuse. But pure, nowadays you can't even say ignorance, is laziness.
Well, one person we know is not lazy is Iman. She is our guest. We'll all be back in just a moment. Please be with us.